Human beings are incredibly adaptable. They adjust and modify themselves according to the environment that they find themselves in, as well as the other people around them. This adaptability bends people towards success, but it also tends to doom them, especially when it comes to things they want most. In this episode, I will be explaining exactly how this phenomenon works. Each and every one of us adapts to our surroundings. This begins when we are children. We adapt to our parents' personalities, beliefs, wants and needs, likes and dislikes. We adapt to our culture. We adapt to the language that we're taught to speak. We adapt to the schools that we're educated in. We adapt to the peers we play with and are bullied by. We adapt to society at large. We adapt to traumatic situations, should we find ourselves in them. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. The list just keeps going on and on. We adapt so as to keep ourselves safe and give ourselves the highest chance of meeting our needs and succeeding at whatever it is that we have our sights on, consciously or subconsciously. If we didn't adapt, we would be in real trouble in many ways. So adaptation is a survival strategy, if not at times a strategy we use in order to thrive. But what happens when we need to move to a different environment, other than the one that we've adapted ourselves to? What happens when we want to experience a different relationship than the one that we have customized ourselves to? The answer is, we either adapt again, or we doom ourselves to only being able to be in the very environments that we previously adapted ourselves to. And this can spell doom for us. So that you understand this concept, I'm going to give you three examples. First, Amara's father was diagnosed bipolar before she was born, and was in and out of psychiatric facilities. Frequently, he used to drive drunk and gravitate towards other risk-taking behaviors. He would catastrophize and also self-medicate with prescription opioids. Amara's mother coped with this through denial and false optimism. In truth, the entire house revolved around the father's mental and emotional state. Amara had to adapt to this to be okay in her childhood home. She figured out how to coexist, essentially, with her father. How did she do this? Well, she became hyper-attuned so she could tell where he was emotionally and mentally at all times. She let go of the need of predictability and learned to roll with anything that came, rather than be attached to any outcome. She learned how to get her needs met by figuring out exactly how to manipulate her father's behavior rather than being straightforward about her needs. Why? Because life could never be about her when it had to be all about her father. Amara's father leaned on her for all of his needs, and so she was severely parentified. But she learned to gain security from how badly she is needed by someone because of their dysfunction. After several failed relationships, Amara is really, really wanting a healthy relationship where she doesn't find herself in a relationship with yet another addict. She doesn't want her life to revolve around things like bailing a man out of jail and caretaking him after a drug binge and having to pay his rent to prevent him from ending up on the street. Amara doesn't realize that her adaptations, the very ones she made in order to be okay in her childhood home, are the reason she keeps ending up in these situations with men in her adult life. When she dates a man who is not drowning in mental and emotional problems, she feels they can stand on their own two feet, and they don't lean on her or need her. This is a good thing, right? No, actually, because of this, she feels no pull or grip, and decides that because of this, there's no real bond there. She's learned to never make conversations about her or her needs, so she is incredibly appealing for men who are looking for a one-way relationship that revolves around only them. Because trying to make things predictable went so badly for her in her youth, she also feels safer when she just rolls with whatever happens. Because of this, she's not made any effort to be in the driver's seat of her own life. If she meets a man on Tuesday who lives in another state, she can abandon whatever she is doing and wherever she lives and move in with him by Friday. This appeals to men who are looking for rescue. She learned how to parent men through her relationships with her father. And this adaptation makes it so that the only relationship that she feels confident in fact, is one where she needs to caretake and parent a man. Amara's adaptations have made it so that she only works and her behavior only makes sense in one kind of relationship, a relationship that mirrors her relationship with her father when she was growing up, despite the fact that this keeps ruining her life. Case in point, the last boyfriend she had didn't tell her that he had taken a sleeping pill when he offered to drive her and her daughter to a concert. And all three of them ended up in critical care. 2. Kyle is very confused why nothing in his life ever works out for him. Things don't seem to happen for him the way they do for other people. Looking back at Kyle's past, what we find is that he grew up in a very religious environment that was obsessed with the afterlife. In fact, not much about this life mattered, except doing what was necessary to get to the afterlife. His family and culture did not care about worldly successes. They found earthly ambition, in fact, to be a fool's errand. As a result of this, they did not care to encourage Kyle, or enable, or empower him relative to whatever he was ambitious about or interested in. In fact, instead, they acted as an antagonistic oppositional force to those things. He did not have any support. He had opposition. The way he adapted to that opposition was to stop putting his full effort into things, since he'd learned that his efforts were not going to come to anything anyway. And he adapted by making excuses about why things never worked out. These adaptations may have made it more tolerable to live in the culture around him while he was growing up, but now as an adult, he is sick of being broke and having no accomplishments to his name and getting random injuries any time that he tries to succeed at a sport. He doesn't understand why he is so unlucky. The problem is, Kyle doesn't consciously see his own adaptations and how they're sabotaging him now. Everyone else around him sees it. They talk about how easily he gives up and how they see how much more time and energy he could be putting into the goals he says he has. Kyle has adapted to a situation where he will never achieve anything he wants in life. And because of those adaptations, which he doesn't see and therefore isn't facing and changing, he never will achieve anything he wants in life. 3. Jim joined the military. In the military, he was put through intense training. Suddenly, the world he had joined was harsh. Perfection was expected, and there was no space for vulnerability at all. Jim adapted. He adapted by learning the pattern of suppression. He suppressed anything about himself that he or anyone else would have judged as vulnerable or weak. He adapted by learning to never divulge anything private about himself. He adapted by becoming rigidly disciplined. He adapted by finding safety through control. He adapted by feeling a sense of power and security through putting himself through intense discomfort so he could prove to himself he would not break down, no matter how much pressure was put on his system. He adapted by reframing every single challenge into an opportunity. Now, Jim is a father. He has a son who is a young teen. The behavior that Jim needs in order to be a good father to his son is lacking severely because of the adaptations that Jim made to the military. When his son needs his vulnerability to be heard and needs to be supported, Jim gets triggered because he sees this as weakness in his son, a big liability. So Jim negates his son's feelings and deliberately does not help him, so his son can see that he can do it by himself. There can be no closeness between them. Why? Because Jim does not like to divulge anything about himself, remember, even to his own son. His son wants to be loved by Jim for who he is, but Jim is not doing this. Jim is busy trying to turn his son into a miniature version of himself, including imposing his own strategy for success on his son, which is intense discipline and uncomfortable challenges. His son is really afraid of Jim, and so he goes along with all of these intense exercises, like cold plunges and weightlifting exercises with extreme objects and severe fasting. Jim's son never feels good enough for Jim. Jim wants to be a good father, but he cannot be. He has a terrible relationship with his son because of the adaptations he made to belong to the military. He needs to let go of those adaptations and develop different patterns in himself in order to parent well and have a good relationship with his son. The big problem with the adaptations we make to things, most especially to traumatic and dysfunctional relationships and environments, is that those adaptations form and forge us to fit into those things we adapt to. This includes traumatic and dysfunctional environments and relationships. And so, we start to only make sense in those environments and only feel a sense of personal power in those environments. If you want to understand more about this, you can watch my video titled "There Is No Such Thing as Self-Sabotage." We feel like a fish out of water in different, even far more functional and healthy environments and relationships. And when we really, really want something different, these adaptations, in fact, work against us. They act as resistant forces to the very thing we want and need. If we want a different experience, we need to change the adaptive patterns within us that make us a perfect match to that experience. Have a good week.